The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, y'all. This is Houseguest, and I am your host, Kenzie Elizabeth. Think a Gen Z wannabe Martha Stewart meets Dolly Parton trying to live in a Nancy Meyers movie in her 20s. We talk all about life, relationships, navigating your 20s, closing out the bars, or waking up at 5 a.m., depending on our vibe that week. Ultimately, living our best lives and figuring it out along the way. So come hang out. Sometimes I have guests on who do really cool things, some of my best friends, or it's just me and my house that I spend way too much time in. So let's get into the show. Hi, y'all. Welcome back to the show. I'm so excited for today. It is something different, okay? Natalie is bringing us to the ranch. Natalie is a mother. She is a rancher. She is a podcast host. She's an influencer. She has also changed up what she wanted and what she did in her 20s, which I thought was really cool. We talk about that all the time on the podcast. She made some major life changes. She followed her heart. It's a very heartwarming, beautiful story. Most importantly, she is taking us to the ranch. We're going to hear all about it. And I'm just so fascinated. I love listening to people who are living like a completely different life than I am. You know how I love following the girls in like the North Pole? Like that's, you know what I mean? Like I love following people who live on ranches. I love following people who, you know, work on a submarine, things like that, okay? I also think that's like the way to not be depressed on social media, you know what I mean? Anyways, she's just the sweetest. We met last year at like an ACM lunch and it was so much fun and she was just so personable and has always been so kind to me and I just love her. So without further ado, let's welcome Natalie on to the show. Okay, I am sitting here with the ranch queen herself. And before we get into today's episode, I did just want to thank Truly. We have the party pack, which is amazing for hosting every single thing that you could ever possibly need. I'm actually having a little girls' night tonight and I will be bringing this pack to the girls' night. So anyways, back to our little ranching queen.
I don't think I've ever been called that before.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'll don the title. It's very exciting.
I feel like you are the ranch queen.
Yeah, I mean, possibly, yeah.
Possibly. Okay, do you want to give the listeners just a little intro on yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I do ranch. My husband and I ranch in
Ranch Queen.
Yes. In Central Nebraska. I actually grew up in Montana, so I'm kind of a transplant. I grew up really pretty part of the state, Big Sky, Bozeman area, on a cattle ranch there. So, you know, the ranch life has always been a part of me. I actually got my degree in pharmacy, though, so I left it. I mean, I didn't like quote unquote leave, but I spent a lot of time at my family ranch. But I did not envision marrying my husband, living on a ranch, living in Nebraska. It's like one of those states people forget even exists. So to, you know, look at my life now is quite a shock. But yeah, we ranch in Central Nebraska and I share a lot of that online.
Okay, I want to start with your childhood growing up in Montana. Side note, how do you feel about Yellowstone? Like, are you annoyed by everyone?
So I've only watched like one or two seasons of it. Mm-hmm. I think I watched through the second. And no, I mean, it's such a hot topic in like, you know, quote unquote, the Western world. I feel like there are people who get really upset about it and say it like doesn't depict our industry or, you know, it's too much drama. But I think, I mean, I recognize it's a TV show, so
yeah.
I enjoyed it. I don't have qualms for it. I think it's a good show, but I'm not a huge fan of it.
Are you annoyed at all by people?
No, not at all.
Okay. See, no, I like
not that. At all.
People are really, which I can understand if I can understand, but people are really up in arms about this.
Yeah. I don't think it's like a good look for our industry sometimes, the way we can be a little overprotective of, I mean, like cowboy culture is trending right now, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people who are like dabbling in it or, you know, donning hats or boots and you know, obviously aren't connected to it. But that does not trigger me or I don't have an issue with it. I love Western fashion, so I think it's great to see it.
I love that. Okay, sorry. So anyways, back to growing up in Montana.
Yes.
You grew up in Montana on a cattle ranch. What was that like?
You know, it's so funny because I feel like looking back, we only know what we know. Mm-hmm. So like small town life has always been very familiar to me. I know that is not familiar to a lot of people. Like, well, the town we live outside of now in Nebraska is like 2,000 population. And that's like the same for the town I grew up in. So that's just like normal for me. And I didn't have a lot of friends who were like, I had one friend that farmed, but I didn't have a lot of friends that also were like on a ranch or on a farm. But that industry is just so heavy in Montana that it's not like I felt like I was like an outcast or different. So I never really like realized this disconnect some people have with like agriculture and farming and ranching. And so growing up was really great. I loved our childhood. I just didn't think I would stay on the ranch and marry a rancher. But I loved my childhood. It's such a great way to grow up.
What was just like a typical day in the life in your childhood? And I feel like it really does, that's a big difference versus growing up in just the suburbs in a normal house, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my graduating class was like 30 people.
Wow. So my graduating class was like 4,500.
It's just, like, your graduating class is bigger than the town I live out of.
Oh, you know, sorry. Not my graduating class. My graduating class was 800. Our school was
4,500. Yeah. Okay. But still, that's bigger than twice the size of the town I live outside of. So yeah, but I just can't compare it. I mean, I went to college and I went to out of state to Washington State for a little while. And then I also went to Montana State or University of Montana, sorry. Which again are like bigger, you know, Missoula's in Montana. It's a quote unquote bigger city for Montana, but still tiny compared to like other urban cities. And so I've never like lived in a true like large city to compare like what it would be day to day. I travel a lot. One thing I love about my husband, because I remember when I met him, I was like, oh shit, am I like really going to marry a rancher? You know, I just didn't know if I wanted to sign up for that lifestyle. But he's very good at like leaving the ranch and like he loves traveling too. So I feel like I got the best of both worlds that I wanted. But to think about like what my childhood was like compared to yours, I just don't have anything to even put it in perspective of how probably vastly different it truly was.
Yeah. See, this is like my dream now is to be a rancher. Mm-hmm. Not even now. It's been like for quite some time. Not even necessarily to be a rancher. I just want to own a ranch. I want to have like a bar. Like,
horses.
I like the whole. Yeah. Well, it's largely the horses. But I also just like, I really do love it. Like there's a ranch that I go to like regularly. It's been like very, very healing for me. And people who probably don't know me well probably think it really does sound crazy, but like if you know me well, it actually like is really like right up my alley. So you are kind of living my dream life.
Yeah. I mean, there, you said it's healing.
Yes.
And it is. Like, there is something, because I think a lot about how my life could have gone in a lot of different ways of like, you're type 3, are you, an Enneagram? Mm-hmm. Like, so one of our like pros cons to us, right, is that we can chameleon and like fit in wherever. So I've always thought like I could have, you know, married someone and probably lived in like Upper Side, New York and been just fine. But I don't think I would experience the level of contentment I do living like a country rural life. Like, I just always feel, like you said, it's just nurturing to be in nature so much and it's like peaceful. It's just better for me as a person to kind of live that like outdoor connected lifestyle.
Okay. It is interesting though that you said that you're a type 3 and that you can, you're a chameleon, you can, you know, fit in anywhere. Because I would say that about you, like, that's what's so interesting. It's like you really fit in and like the big city vibe as well on top of that. And I feel like that is not a common trait for anyone to have.
Yeah. I mean, well, especially like, I mean, farming and ranching can be so stereotyped too. You know, like if you, like you said, saw me walking down the street, like if you and I were walking down the street today after this, I don't think anyone would guess or believe that I was probably going to return back to, you know, a ranch and spend my time like in a tractor and on a horse and in, you know, a dirty ranger out at pasture with cows all around me. Like, it's just not the image farming and ranching gives. It gives like, it's giving old men in, you know, coveralls and overalls. Like, that's what it's giving. So it is fun. I mean, that's one of the things I love about sharing on my page is that I feel like I kind of like break a little bit of a stereotype that people have about like agriculture.
I feel like people also just don't know anything about it to begin with. Like, on top of there being a stereotype, I feel like people just can't even really fathom what that is like.
Well, no. And they probably, I mean, I don't know what it takes to like flip on a light and how we get electricity here, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think about that. So I get how if I wasn't on a farm or ranch, I'd probably be the same. Like, I wouldn't be thinking about what it took to get my food to a grocery store and like that whole process. Cause we're just, I mean, that's the great thing about the way we live. Like, we don't have to think about those things. But yeah, there's like a huge disconnect between what people think like happens on farms and ranches or what farms and ranches look like into like the reality of what like farming and ranching is.
I'm so glad y'all loved the Clear Stem episode so much. I've had the girls on twice now. They make some amazing skincare, okay? And if you're not listening to me, listen to Macy because she's like basically their like unpaid spokesperson. And also listen to everyone else who's talking about Clear Stem. They have amazing stuff. Also, if you haven't already, go listen to the episode because it's always so interesting. So if y'all didn't know, Clear Stem is the first skincare line that combines all three categories, anti-acne, anti-aging, and clean, meaning free of hormone disruptors and pore clogging fillers. They have the best stuff. I love their moisturizer. It smells absolutely incredible. I put it on every single morning. I actually just ran out and I'm placing my order today. They also have this supplement called Mind Body Skin. It's a hormonal acne supplement, which is the best natural alternative to prescription acne treatments such as Accutane and Spironolactone. Okay, Macy like swears by this. Like, not to make this all about Macy, like I've made everything else in my life all about Macy, but like this stuff, I hear like the most amazing stuff and I need to be like consistent. One thing about me is that like I've been really off my like vitamin stuff, but I know that it is absolutely amazing. Like, I just heard the craziest stories. And they actually recently launched their innovative acne lab test, which is amazing. It's helping thousands of people get to the root cause of their acne through comprehensive lab testing and lifestyle-based recommendations. I really cannot recommend Clear Stem enough. It's like one of those things. The first time I met them, I was like, I have to go home and tell my mom all about this because she will just love this stuff. I love their under eye cream. I actually use that as my lip balm as well. I love their moisture mask. I love their SPF sunscreen. They even have like powdered SPF that you can put on over your makeup because you have to reapply SPF throughout the day. So like by the time it's like noon, your SPF isn't working on your face. So they have this stuff that you put over. And I think that it's the most genius, amazing thing ever. It's also amazing because like my face gets oily. So anyways, visit clearstemskincare.com and use code houseguest at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. Again, that is code houseguest for 20% off your first purchase on clearstemskincare.com. Maidenform is a brand you can trust because they basically have been around for such a long time. Like, they've been around since the very first bras, okay? Get a taste of M, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you have ever seen. M is a collection from Maidenform, a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They wrote the book on bras, and M is the next juicy chapter. You really have to feel it to believe it. This fabric is just buttery soft, and it just feels so much more expensive than it is. It's great style that won't break the bank. I love them because, you know, when you're wearing a bra and it's like showing under your clothes and that's just like not the vibe you're going for. Like, you want it to look seamless and like you're like literally not even wearing a bra, basically. And that's how I feel in my Maidenform bra. It's just so comfortable and there's not like uncomfortable like underwear, but it's still flattering and it's still like holding my boobs up. Like, I just really love their stuff. So they have on-trend designs made from stretchy, comfy fabrics and incredible colors. M can be worn as innerwear or outerwear, style to your taste, create looks that serve for all or none to see. You never know. They've also got some really good bodysuits. Like, I loved this black bodysuit from them. My bra is literally the most comfortable thing in the entire world. Like, I could sleep in it. That is how you know. One thing about me is that my sleeping experience is going to be the best of the best, okay? And I'm not going to say something I don't mean, and I will actually sleep in that bra, which means something because that's not standard, you know? So y'all can visit maidenform.com and use code houseguest20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That is maidenform.com, maidenform.com, and use code houseguest20 for 20% off your first order. Again, that is maidenform.com. Use code houseguest20 for 20% off your first order.
I really like in your life story how you really changed what you thought you wanted and you didn't really expect to marry a rancher and kind of make that a whole lifelong thing versus just your childhood. So can you kind of take us through your decision making and like thought process during that time?
Yeah. So, which is kind of unique about ranching and farming. A lot, you'll hear people say like, I'm a fourth generation, right? So I don't even know, maybe I even said that. So I am actually fourth generation, but you'll hear that's an industry where people will refer to like generations. Cause usually that, like you don't start a ranch usually just to sell it. So it's usually like passed down from person to person. So usually as a child, it's not expected, but it kind of also is, right? I mean, someone has to take over the ranch. So my parents, they gave us this really great gift of like choice where they, so I have three older sisters and they didn't want any of us to feel that, like that one of us had to stay on the ranch and take over the ranch. They just didn't want us to be there like out of obligation or duty, which can sometimes like happen in our industry.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is there like a lot of pressure on that?
Yeah, because especially if like you're getting to fifth generation or sixth generation, you can't like, are you going to be the generation that ended it? Yeah. So anyway, all of us girls went off. We all went out of state. I had two sisters to go to California. I went to Washington and actually I have two sisters back on the ranch and then I'm on my husband's ranch. So I do think it's like an ode or a testament to like kind of probably you, like once you get a taste of this, you kind of just like, it's hard to kick it. So when I left and graduated, I knew I wanted to do pharmacy school. And so I was like, well, it's not like a movie where like, I was like, I want to leave this town and like dramatic and like stereotypical, like small town wants to go to big city. But I definitely just didn't envision living in a small town. And so when I met my husband, I was living in Bozeman and I loved it. I loved my life in Bozeman. I got pregnant younger. So it was me and my son, and I was just a full-time pharmacist. I was working at like the hospital clinic there, and that's like a good career for a woman. So I, you know, like I had a nice life. Like I was traveling a lot. I was going out. Like Bozeman's a really great scene for like eating, and it's a really cool city. So I like truly love my life. And it is so cliche, but you know how everyone's like, you'll find love or your person when you do not expect it. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me. Cause I was like,
see, here's the thing though. Like I have not been expecting it for like a long time, like genuinely. And I'm like, really? Like, I don't know about that one, but I'm happy to hear it happen for you.
Yeah. I think I got to the point where I was like, I don't know if I'll get married.
Yeah.
You know? And then I met my husband and that's when I was like, well,
how did
shit,
you guys meet?
It's so country. He was actually at our family ranch. So the ranch I grew up on, here's a little fun fact for everyone about ranching and farming. Not all cattle that are raised go into the like food supply chain. Some ranches have raised cattle just for genetics. So, and it would be the same for like horses too. Like you can raise for genetics. So the ranch I grew up on did that. You're raising like animals that people want to buy for you to like breed back into their ranch, their cattle herd, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So he was actually up at our bull sale. We have an annual bull sale so that
Oh, I know. I see this on your Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So that's how we met. The running joke is that he came to the ranch for a bull and he left with a wife, which is just like so country. But
that is actually so cute. See, that's how I'm trying to be.
Yeah. I had the bull he bought that year. I had it painted for him. And so it's like hanging in our house, which was like a fun little thing. But
that's like actually really cute.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you guys start dating and you're like, oh, I don't know if I want this, but then you fall in love and it happens?
Well, no, because I knew he wasn't going to sell his ranch, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, as awkward as it is, that was a conversation we had pretty early on that was like, if we're going to be together, it's going to be me probably moving and relocating because, yeah, I just didn't expect him. I mean, I guess we could have gone down that path of like what it would look like for him to sell the ranch and the cattle and find like a new job, but I would never have asked that of him. So very early on, we had a conversation about that. And then I just had to really do a lot of like early on soul searching to be like, okay, is this a change I'm really willing to make? Because all my family is still in Montana and I love Montana.
It's not just a job. It is like a full-time lifestyle. There's no days off. It's very different than just clocking in at like a 9 to 5.
You know, what's funny is you probably relate to the most for not living on a ranch. You probably relate to the life of it the most because it's like content creation.
Yeah.
Like, it bleeds between like you don't have
schedule time.
No. Well, like your life is your job is your life, you know? And that's exactly how it is with agriculture. So anyone who's in content creation, I think actually really gets like what it is like to farm and ranch. And yeah, I did. I grew up, my mom was a stay at home mom. And I think she always kind of like wished she would have had something beyond the ranch for herself. And I think that got like instilled in me a little bit or imparted in me without me like realizing that. So when I left like living in Bozeman in a city, practicing pharmacy, you know, like doing my thing to relocate on the ranch to be like the quote unquote ranch wife, it was hard for me, especially being like a type 3. Like that's a hard thing. I think that's why I actually ended up in content creation because it was like something I was able to like create for myself and have control back over again. Cause I don't know if I would take to just being like, cause I don't like work on the ranch every day. Like I'm not like a employee that's like it's not dependent upon me. If I want to like go out and help, I do. Because we have littles. I have three boys in total. And our two youngest ones are fairly young. So like weather dependent or job dependent or whatever, like I don't go out and work every day. So I think it would be hard for my personality to just, I don't want to say do nothing, but not have something for myself beyond like the family and the ranch.
Yeah, definitely. I can see how that would be very difficult, but I also see how content creation is literally the perfect like other job for you to have because it complements everything and it puts it all together, but it also is like your own thing to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, not that I'm a mom, but I do hear moms talk about that all the time, how it is like really important to have things for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I can see how that is literally like the perfect thing, like scheduling wise, like that really is like incredible.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like the thing about sharing online too is, you know, if you have something different to share, it's more appealing. And again, like growing up, I didn't realize that like ranch wife life is different. Mm-hmm. But when I started sharing online, I realized like, oh, this is something that not everyone sees every single day. You know, like our summer pasture is some of the most beautiful summer pasture. And so like when I'm out on horseback moving cattle, that's something I've seen, you know, since I was tiny, small, but that's something that majority don't. And so they enjoy that so much. So like you said, it was like this idea of content creation was like literally dropped in my lap.
When you started posting, were you intentionally trying to gain a following or did it just happen on accident?
No, I was intentionally trying. So very roundabout way, I actually started, again, going back to type three and being like, well, I can't just move to the ranch and not work or do anything and relax. Like you, I should have been friends with you. You could have like had me knitting and like planting a garden and stuff.
Yes. And you would have been needlepointing.
Yeah. And then, you know, that would have kept me busy. But I was like, well, I want something to do because there wasn't a job for pharmacy in the small town we lived outside of. And I didn't want to commute to one of the bigger cities. So my husband and I just decided that like I would put that, you know, the pharmacy career on pause. So I decided to, you know, like buying direct from the rancher is like a pretty popular mm-hmm. thing to do. And so I was like, oh, well, I could do that. Like I could sell our beef direct to consumers. So that's how I actually started sharing on Instagram was for like a beef business.
So I actually did know that you did this. I didn't realize that that's how it started. That's so interesting.
Yes. And then I realized, that's when I realized, oh, there's like something to just ranch life in general. And so that's when I pivoted away from the beef business. I did that pretty early on. I only did that for about like a year and a half. And then that's when I created like my brand around myself and our family and like ranch life more. Cause I was like, that's a little bit more sustainable than the beef business. And that was easier. And honestly, it was like more fun too. Mm-hmm.
Can you give us like details about the ranch? Like what are things people, cause I, so many people who are listening to this podcast probably have no relation to
like,
any sort
what
of
are we listening to
they're,
right now?
Yeah, they're like so confused. But like people are interested. My favorite people, not that I'm like, not that I don't relate, but like my favorite people to follow online, I always say, are people who live completely different lifestyles than me. So I love following people who are living on a ranch. I love like one of my favorite followers, she lives in the North Pole. Like I'm obsessed. Oh my God, it's actually an incredible tip if you are dealing with like comparison online or just like the internet is so depressing and dark to you and like people are just so mean. Follow people that you like, have
follow
nothing in common
very
with.
Random strangers.
Yes, very random. But can you give us just like the ins and the outs of ranch life?
Yeah. So here's the best way to describe it because everyone's like, what's the day on the ranch look like? And day to day ranch life is very different, but ranches work in seasons. So you could think of our ranch, like in the fall, we're generally doing the same thing we are. It like works fall, winter, summer, spring. So in the summer, our cattle are out at summer pasture. So it's like the most beautiful time on the ranch. And that's when you're
How much cattle do you have?
We have quite a bit.
Okay. Quite a bit.
Yeah. We have about 1,000 head.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So there's a lot to manage.
Well, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. So
how many people are working on the ranch?
Okay. So this is a common kind of misconception. So it's my husband and I. He is technically fifth generation.
Okay.
And I'm technically fourth generation. But the ranch we are on together, he started. So it's our first generation. So it's like his parents aren't involved. And obviously my parents aren't involved. So it's just him and I, and then we have two employees. We have a 25-year-old kid and then a 23-year-old kid, which is hilarious because, again, everyone thinks of like, which the average farmer and rancher is old. Like if you were to look at the census in the U.S., they are older. But like the average age on our ranch is like 27 or 28 or something. So we have a lot of fun, but it's just a little bit different. So it's just us four. And technically, I'm like half a person. I'm a fair weather rancher, I call myself. So summer, I'm out a lot. Winter, I'm not as much.
I totally get that. I understand that fully.
Yeah. So back to the seasons. Summer, you are, the cattle are out at grass. You're just kind of moving them, at, like rotationally grazing them. You're moving them from like pasture to pasture. That's like a summer job on a ranch. The guys are doing other things like fixing fence. Like there's a lot of like maintenance on a ranch, things like that. But the cattle are just really content out at pasture. Fall is unique in Nebraska. We have corn stalks. Like Nebraska has a lot of corn. That's what most people think of when they think of Nebraska is corn. So our cattle go to corn stalks. And so you'll manage them on corn stalks. They can actually eat corn stalks. It's like a really good forage for them. Winter, they're closer back to like our house, like the ranch. And that's when we have to like go out and feed them hay every day, or you have to like actually feed them. Whereas summer, they can just be on grass. But like in winter, when there's snow and weather and things like that, you can't. So you're manually feed them every day with the tractor. And then spring is like kind of a transition between like the winter into the summer.
What's your favorite part about ranch life?
Summer, for sure. Yeah. So our ranch is on what's called the Nebraska Sandhills. And it's like a really cool part of the state. It's like a lot of rolling hills. It's very lush. It's really pretty. But there is the sandhills are like in some areas of our ranch that it's so steep that I wouldn't take a four wheeler or a ranger. Like you definitely couldn't even get a truck, but I wouldn't feel safe on like a four wheeler. Like you could tip it or roll it. Like it's just so steep and like kind of rocky and stuff. So in the summer we use horseback, like almost every day, like to move cattle and check. And so you're just in the saddle a lot, which is something I really enjoy. The ranch I grew up on, we had horses for fun. Like I grew up riding, but it was like in a flatter part. So we used four wheelers and dirt bikes. Like that's how we would use, you know, to get around on the ranch. So I didn't grow up using horses the way we do on our ranch. And I really love it. So I really love summer. And then I also love calving season. So like our in ranches, you don't calve like all year long. Like calves aren't just born all the time. They're born like specific times, like a couple months, depending on how many animals you own. So we calve in May, and that's like always a fun time because you have like babies running around and stuff.
How long are they pregnant?
I think it's 9 months as okay. Well.
I
feel like I should Google this really quickly.
I just had never thought about the fact that like animals have different like pregnancy times until recently.
And I'm
no, like we should Google this. Okay, wait.
I'm almost positive it is, but now I feel like I'm like, wait, is it the same as
well? They're all getting pregnant and you're like breeding them, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, pregnancy time. Let's see, guys. 283 days.
Yes. What's that?
So
by 30.
That would be 9, right?
283. Yeah, I think it's close. Right around there.
Yeah. Sure.
More or less.
Yeah, that sounds right. Well, I just had never thought about the fact that animals are like different. Like dogs are like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until recently.
Yeah.
Y'all, I'm going to Nantucket next week. And one thing about me is like, here's the thing. Nantucket really changed my life. It made me a classier individual. It really did. But I also think as I get older, like I just want to look classic, but also like I'm not trying too hard. Okay. And that's where Roebuck comes in. I really, really have loved my Roebuck stuff, and I will be wearing my Roebuck stuff, you know, sure, working out, of course. Yes. But I'm also going to be wearing it on my morning coffee walks on Nantucket. Okay. And everyone is going to be looking at me and they're like, oh my God, who is that classy girl that looks so nice and like well-dressed? Like, and I'm going to be like, it's me. And it's because I'm wearing Roebuck. Okay. I just love this stuff. Okay. I'm really excited to talk about them. And I just tried a lot of things from their new women's line, and they have the best fit and the best feel. Their hoodies and joggers and crews are incredibly soft. Like the hoodies and joggers, the fabric is literally called V-Soft, okay? They are amazing to wear lounging or like actually on the move. They're just really versatile and you can really wear them with like so many different things. The crew necks are also equally as soft. I honestly, like, I guess I really do live in crew necks now that I'm thinking about it, but I really love the Roebuck crew. It also feels a little bit more classic. Like, I can't describe it to me. Like, Roebuck is just very classy. Like, I should be on the golf course. You know what I mean? I should be on the golf course with my needlepoint canvas in hand. That's what I should be doing. And maybe a margarita. Okay. They're so soft. They're so comfortable. And they're really just like the perfect layer piece. And also their active dress is the best. They are geniuses and they designed it so you don't have to take the dress off when you've got to go. It is actually brilliant and it's still really comfortable. They use lightweight, breathable fabric so that it keeps you comfortable when you're on the move, which is the best thing ever because there's nothing worse than having to fully undress to go to the bathroom. It is so annoying. So anyways, I love Roebuck. If you haven't already, it's now time to try out some Roebuck. Use the code houseguest on roebuck.com for a generous 20% off your first order through the end of the week. That is spelled Roebuck, Roebuck.com. That's 20% off all hoodies, joggers, crews, and more with code houseguest. Stay comfortable this spring with Roebuck. If you've got a dinner party, if you've got book club coming up, if you've got girls' night, G&O, what else could you possibly have? Maybe you're playing bingo. I don't know what you're doing. I'm probably actually at the local like senior citizen
community place playing bingo. That's probably where I am, okay? And you know what I'm going to be bringing? I'm going to be bringing the Truly Party Pack, okay? Truly believes life can be more refreshing when we can be real, let loose, embrace imperfection, and allow ourselves to be free from convention. And that is why Truly something has for everyone, okay? In more than 30 unique flavors, including 3 lightly flavored mix packs, berry, and the new party pack. The party pack is the way to go, and it's what you need, okay? And this is amazing. If you guys are wanting to have fun, if you're wanting to have like a great time, whatever, also not wanting to be a lazy guest. Like if you are a guest somewhere, you need to come with things, okay? Like I won't even go, like even when, guys, even when I'm like at dinner and I'm going to like a pregame before I'm going to the bars after, like I will order something to be sent to their house for me when I arrive to bring to them, because that is how important it is to bring something when someone is hosting you. I am teaching you guys, these things are important, okay? So the Truly Party Pack is really the way to go because there's something for everyone and it tastes amazing. I personally love Truly. My friends and I have had really incredible memories with Truly, you know, the Honky Tonk Express in Nashville, like really, we've had so many, okay? So to find Truly Hard Seltzer near you, go to trulyhardseltzer.com/locations. That is trulyhardseltzer.com/locations. Truly Hard Seltzer, keep it light. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly. So highly recommend it, guys. You guys, it's just amazing, right? With only 5% ABV, 100 calories, and 1 gram of sugar in each can, Truly is the perfect drink to keep you on track with your New Year's resolution, unless your resolution was to have less fun. Party Pack is the way to go. Do you have any other animals?
So we have cattle dogs. We have a Dolly and then Macy. And Dolly's the cutest dog.
Love the name.
Yeah. But a worthless cattle dog. Like she's just, she'll like,
horrible at her job,
yes,
by the way.
She really is. She should be demoted, but she's so cute. So I mean, she'll be like in the range of riding instead of like out actively moving cattle. So we have horses, but we don't have like goats or chickens or anything like that. I tried chickens. And at this point in my life, I think it's just better if I buy from other people who have local chickens. Yep. I can like boost the local economy that way than have my own chickens. I think it'll be a good chore for the littles, like when my little boys grow up and they can be helped. But I just don't have an interest in like cleaning a coop every day right now or monitoring that.
I'm currently walking around my neighborhood very slowly because I'm just trying to hear who has chickens so that I can just buy from them. But I'm walking very slowly. Like yeah. I live in an area of Dallas that like no one knows about, but like there's more animals there. And I need to figure this out because I know someone does, but I'm on the hunt. Yeah. I'm like Nancy Drew in that neighborhood.
I mean, it's a good friend to have, the person who has chickens.
No, the eggs are so much better. Okay, I really want to go get into food. But I will just say, like, even shopping at getting things that I will get from, like, certain ranches or certain farms near me, or even just as small as, like, going to, like, the farmer's market. Yeah. And you see the difference between the vegetables. I got super into grilling last year. Like, you literally could not tell me I was not a grill master. I grilled maybe 10 times.
Watch out, Food Network.
No, literally, literally.
Bobby Flay.
And exactly. And I was getting a bunch of vegetables in the farmer's market. And it was so insane to see, one, the size difference. 2, how much longer they last. And 3, how much better they taste. It's actually really dark. Like, when I had to go back to the grocery store to get some things after, and I was like, oh my God, this is like so much worse. Like, I'm like, it can't be me. It's obviously where it's coming from, you know?
Farmer's market's actually one of the biggest things I miss from like living in a city. That and a Costco. I'm three hours from a Costco. And like what I would give to shop at like a Costco's or Trader Joe's or something.
That's tough.
Give a lot. I would give my left kidney. I don't think I need it.
Like, yeah. No, my best friend Dom is like so obsessed with Costco and we always like make fun of her. But I'm like, honestly, like I get that. Like I don't like living like, yeah, I like the grocery store being like in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, like that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about food because I know you have a lot to say on this topic, but I am just like a little bit frightened after my realization last summer from the farmer's market.
Yeah. So I mean, it's such a nuanced conversation and I don't want to like get super into the weeds and like lose everyone tuning in and like snooze fest.
People are interested in this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think our food system got to the place where it is for a reason. Like we didn't just accidentally end up here, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're efficient, we're productive, which I think is a pro. Like we all have to consider, like it is really great that we can have milk every day and we don't have to have the milk cow in our backyard and milk it twice a day. Like it's a real bitch to be tied to like a milk cow. You know, yeah. Like I remember one time I asked Fez and I was like, hey, because I would love to like make my own butter. And I've never had raw milk. So I don't know if I'd actually like raw milk, but I like the other parts that go with it.
We keep talking about raw milk on the podcast. Like, it's coming up in the future episodes. And I'm like, what are your thoughts on raw milk? I've literally never had it, by the way.
I haven't either.
We need to try it. I don't drink milk a lot.
So
I don't drink milk ever, by the way.
So I feel like I don't know if I'd be impressed or not like it. But anyway, it is nice that we can have all these conveniences and we don't have to be the ones producing it anymore, right? Like, we were able to urbanize. And like you said, you can walk into the grocery store and the shelves, I mean, there's one period in time where it wasn't, but the shelves are always lined. You know, it's predictable, it's abundant, and it's fairly affordable. So there's like good things about our food system. There's a lot of going back to like that disconnect about like just not seeing it like food anymore or like being exposed to it all. There's just so much questions. I think consumers have like fear generally too, like fear around their food. Like, what are we spraying? What's happening? Like, how is my food being right? I mean, and when they eat food 3 times a day, it's like, so
it's like how we survive.
Yeah. And it's so emotional too, right? Like, people tie food to like memories and the kitchen table and like family. Yes, exactly. And so I get why people are so concerned about like making sure they have like the healthiest product. I will say that I think a lot of people interchange safe and healthy. I believe we have a very safe food system. I would argue we don't have the healthiest food system, but people who are like afraid of our food or afraid of shopping in the grocery store, I don't like align with that belief. I definitely think we have an unhealthy food system. And yeah, there's differences. I mean, like, one of my big things with food is labels, actually. I think labels are like shit for consumers. I think they're like marketing tactics, essentially. And a lot of people are shopping and buying and paying for labels.
Like, what kind of labels?
That don't mean anything. Well, there's so many unregulated labels.
Organic is not what you always think it is.
Yeah, like, I mean, organic is. So organic is like a farming practice. So it like comes back to the practices farmers use on the ranch. But yeah, I think people just place a lot of other meanings on labels. Like, here's one. We could go into like grass-finished beef.
Yes.
So a lot of people, so the grass-finished beef is a regulated label. But all it's telling you is it's a diet label for the animal. So all it's really telling you at the end of the day is that the animal ate grass. But a lot of people will like want to make it into like an animal welfare label, like the animal was treated better or something. It's like, that's not what that label's telling you. It's just telling you the cow ate grass. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean it lived a better life, doesn't necessarily mean it worse life. Like, it has nothing really to do with that. And people will like make it an animal welfare label. People will make it like almost an environment label too. Like, if that is grass finished, it was out on pasture, it was pasture. Again, it's a diet label. So it's not, I mean, most grass label, if you're getting direct from like the farmer rancher, they were out on pasture. But you could have like a huge brand maybe finishing cattle in, you know, like a confined area that is still getting grass that could be grass label because it's a diet label at the end of the day. And so there's just a lot of murk around that. So I always tell people, like, if you care about your food and you have the means to do it, shop like the farmer's market, shop directly from the farmer and the rancher if you can, because that's going to be like the closest you can get to understanding your food and what went into it. Otherwise, a lot of times labels are just a marketing ploy to get you to pick one product over the other. And there aren't labels I would go into the store and recommend one over the other. I would recommend like shopping directly. And then otherwise I would be like, just get your bang for the buck at the grocery store.
Yeah, my mom is like, my mom thinks she's going to Paltrow in like the health sense. Like, I always say, I'm like, all right, Gwyneth, you know, but she had Hashimoto's and she actually cured her Hashimoto's through.
I mean, food's powerful.
Yes, very powerful.
I believe in food as medicine. Absolutely.
And she got really into everything. Mm-hmm. But I only know certain things because she's like super into like skincare and things of like, when it says clean, it doesn't necessarily mean X, Y, and Z, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's better for you and whatever. But she's always going into like certain labels. And she's like, at the end of the day, it's just so like discouraging in ways.
It is.
Because it doesn't really mean much.
No. Like, humanely raised. If you get that on a label, not regulated. Like, no one is out there regulating if an animal is humanely raised or not. So if you are buying that, it's just it's just that food brand making you feel good about that and getting you to choose that one over one that doesn't say humanely raised, even though they could both be.
How are they getting away with it not being regulated and saying that, though?
I just think the way the food, I mean, I don't.
They just don't care enough to.
Well, no, I mean, I just, there's like USDA, there's FDA. I mean, there's different.
I know, I mean, they don't care enough.
Who?
Like, whoever would be judging labels.
Well, I think there's just only so many labels that are monitored. And then other than that, no one is looking to see what like Kellogg's or Tyson or anyone is like putting on a label.
Yeah. See, that's just, yeah, it's not the vibe. But I'm telling you, a farmer's market is. Yeah.
Well, like I said, if you can, go to the farmer's market. Otherwise, like don't, again, I go back to like, we have safe.
Yeah, like food. Don't beat yourself up over it.
It's, yeah, yes. Exactly. Like, and so someone said, I was listening to a podcast and someone said one of my favorite lines about food. And that was like, tell me what you care about most and then I'll tell you how to shop. And I think there's a lot of people who are trying to shop so many different ways. So they're trying to shop affordably. They're trying to shop like sustainably. They're trying to do all these different labels. And it's like, just pick the one that means the most to you and then research how you can like fulfill that way the most. So like if you really do care about environmental issues, find the labels that are truly regulated under, you know, environmentally, and then look for that. And then don't beat yourself up over all the other ways to shop, because there's so many things you could put into factor at the end of the day when you're choosing a food item. And I think there's like anxiety in the grocery store. And I just really don't think there needs to be, because again, at the end of the day, I think we have safe food. So if you're making healthy choices, like shopping Whole Food, like you're fine, you're okay. Like I just, labels really bother me actually.
Yeah. And I think just adding, I mean, people already have such like tough relationships with food. So I feel like all of those are just adding to making it way more complicated when it's, that is good to hear. Like at this point, I'm just giving up on labels. Yeah. It doesn't matter. That's
Wait,
what I'm taking from this conversation.
That either. I just like choose.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. Just like not, I get it. There's only so much you can do.
Absolutely.
Anyways.
Yeah.
You know, like you really can't, you can't win them all.
Yeah.
You can't.
And for people who do, like U.S. farmers and ranchers are doing a very good job. Like we're very good at our jobs. So people who are, do feel like they want to like climate issues are important to them. U.S. is like a leader in sustainability. So you're already like shopping, like just, I just wish people wouldn't carry so much stress in the grocery stores.
I didn't realize that U.S. was a leader in sustainability.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Can you like share more of what it takes from like getting your food like off the land to the grocery store? Like what is that, what is that process?
I can talk about it from beef, but I'm, you know, I'm not an expert in any
yes,
other
Yes, I
areas.
Mean beef, yes.
Yeah. So here's a little fun fact. We like to lump animal proteins together. So a lot of times we'll like put chicken and pork and beef all together. Chicken and pork are actually what's called vertically integrated. So that means one, like a Tyson owns the chicken from the beginning to the end, and the farmers are actually contracted to Tyson.
Okay.
So it's a way different. The beef industry is very segmented. So the cows start out on a ranch like mine, and then we actually sell them to like a feedlot setting. And then the feedlot actually sells them to like a packer. So when people talk about like, I'm trying, Cargill or JBS, like so those are big like meat packers. They actually have nothing to do with the beginning phases of the beef production, like what goes on in my ranch, which is very, very different than chicken and pork. So cattle take like not quite 2 years, I would say like 18 months probably, to go from the beginning, like born on my ranch, to the end, like in a grocery. Well, yeah, probably right around there, to go to the end of the grocery. Like that's probably when a packer's buying them, is around like 18 months of age.
Got it. Okay, so chicken and pork are very different because they have to be to one. And with the, I'm confused, with beef, you can go to different ones?
Well, so it's just like Tyson owns the egg.
Okay.
And Tyson's like in control of it. Like Tyson owns the, and I'm just saying one brand. I'm not saying Tyson owns like all the chicken industry. But for that example, like the bigger packing production companies in chicken own the start to finish.
Okay, got it.
Yes.
Got it.
So it's vertically integrated is what they call it.
Okay. Well, more you know.
Yes. But the beef industry is not at all. So like we own our cattle at the beginning.
Okay.
We sell to feedlots as feedlots buy from, like it's an exchange of like the animals bought and sold multiple times, which I don't think anyone is ever aware of.
Yeah. Also, how would people be able to say grass finished and stuff if they're, is that like, you know what I'm saying?
If yeah. Sold? So that would be like you would as a rancher, like if we did grass finish, that is a label we would apply for and we'd have to like put in certification and all of that at the beginning to like prove that.
But even if it went, like if it's sold multiple times, like would everyone have to do that? Is there a way that they would lose it?
Well, so that's why a lot of actually grass-fed beef in the grocery store is actually imported. It's not actually US.
Okay.
Because we don't have, again, going back to like our food system, the US isn't set up to be like really great at grass finishing. That's why like you'll get people who are grass finishing doing direct to consumer or at the farmer's markets more so. If you're buying grass fed beef in the grocery store, it's a good chance if we traced it, it came from like New Zealand or Australia. Cause that's like a place that can do like grass finish all year long. So a majority of the beef, like the ranch, like our ranch, the cattle on our ranch just enter, they'll get sold to feedlot. They enter the conventional food supply chain. We don't have enough grass fed ranchers at our level to have where they would go through the system and then stay like in the US to be able to like fill the demand in like grocery stores and restaurants across the nation, if that makes sense.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What's the average size of a ranch?
Very tiny.
Really?
Yeah.
Like how many like acres?
Oh, well, so the average herd size is like less than 50 cows. So the so it's really tiny. The average ranch is going to vary because what it's called, well, I don't want to get into terminology, but essentially the amount of acreage you would need like here in Texas to run, let's say like 5 cows would be different than maybe what you would need in Georgia.
Why
is
that?
Different than in New York. Just because like weather, grass, geography, like soil, like everything is so different. I mean, you think of like West Texas Plains, mm-hmm. that looks so much more different than if you're getting into like Florida. Like Florida is actually a decent, they have beef cattle. A lot of people associate that. But like, that's going to be like lush Everglades. Like they're just, you could run more cattle on less land.
Okay.
Then you do here. So the ranch's size isn't like really indicative across the state, but they do have the national average, which like the national average, I think was right around 43 the last time I checked it.
At 43 cows?
43 cows per ranch.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you guys just have 1,000.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Like what's the largest you've heard of just from like people that you meet?
So that is a good question too, because again, so think of like a triangle upside down. Mm-hmm. So at the top is really big and long. That is like ranches like mine. So there's almost, I think the last census put it at like 700,000 ranches that are doing what my husband and I do, which is like, we take care of the animals. They're born, the calves are born there. Like our job is to like raise the calves up and then sell them off. You move down to the middle of the triangle where it gets like a little bit smaller, that's like the feedlot. So there's going to be less feedlots and they're going to be bigger. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the point of the triangle, the little tip, and that's the meatpackers. There's 4 of them. So like when people talk about like the meatpackers dominating the beef industry, it's because there's only 4 of them to process it, 4 main ones. So I would say at the top, like the 700,000 ranches, really small, like even the bigger ones, like we're fairly big, but we're not big. I mean, like I said, we're like a family and 2 employees, right? Mm-hmm. Where you get into like big things is when you get into like the feedlots, because there's less of them and you can just, they're just bigger in number, like the amount of head in one spot versus like cattle out on pasture in one spot, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your like morning routine currently on the ranch?
So I like to start my day going outside.
I would too if I were you.
Yeah. So I have an app that I'm trying to think of what it's called. And I can't, but it buzzes me. Like sunrise is about to happen.
Like a hatch alarm kind of clock.
Kind of. Yeah. And so I like to start outside for about like 10 minutes, just taking in the sunrise, mm-hmm. being
so
outside.
So you're up at like 5 in the morning.
Yes. We're very early risers.
Got it. Well, mm-hmm. you kind of have to be.
Yeah.
You don't really have a choice.
Yeah. And then it depends so much on the day. Like, so I have a podcast too. So I batch a lot of like social media work, stuff mm-hmm. I'm doing online on the days that we record podcasts. So that day of the week, I spend more time inside. Other days of the week, I'll go out with my husband after I have like, so I'll spend time outside right away, have breakfast. My husband will usually come in from chores and we'll have breakfast together and then we'll go back out and do something. And then, yeah, I mean, I have my littlest is in school. So there's school pickup. So my days are like, kind of dependent around that. But there's like really no consistency at all actually to my schedule besides trying to start my day outside.
Do the boys like love living on the ranch?
Yeah, my children are like feral, like farm animals themselves. We had someone show up at the ranch the other day and I like can't keep clothes on my littles. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this is like a nudist colony.
No, that was how my sister was growing up. Like she'd always say that.
Running around. But yeah, it is like a really cool, actually last year during calving season. So my youngest, he's 3 now, but he would have been 2 during last year's calving season. And we had a sick calf. And so my husband was like treating him. And so we were giving him like electrolytes through like a bottle. And so my little two-year-old was actually helping hold it with my husband. And I took a photo, and I just remember taking the photo and being like, wow, he's like 2 years old and he's doing something that like no one will.
Kind of like a baby genius.
Yeah. Yeah. But just like, I was like, he's living life.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, he's so immersed in life. Yes. And I thought it was so cool. And I think that's the cool thing about like, and why I'm like content back on a ranch is like, I just don't think I did for a long time, like looking back, like how I woke up, I lived in a city. I woke up, I went to the hospital. I worked under fluorescent lights. I came home and that was like normal to me. But now like the days I still fill in as a pharmacist and the days I go into the pharmacy and being inside all day, I'm like jittery and anxious almost like to get back out to the outside. And so I love that for my children that they get to be so immersed in nature, I think.
No, I love that for them too.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing that's happened on the ranch?
Oh my gosh. Wild. We've had like tractors. No. We do not.
Really?
But we are a branding state. Actually, Nebraska split down the middle. So part of Nebraska does not have to brand and part of the other side of Nebraska has to brand. But no, I would not say that's... You said thieves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there's just some stories on the ranch here. People.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real
thing.
They're
not stealing animals. They're stealing like other things on the ranch.
Yeah, well, people will like wrangle cattle still, I think, too, which is like absolutely fucking absurd. Wow. But no, I don't feel like anything's, I mean, we've had some like accident, like, so obviously like on farms and ranches, you have a lot of heavy machinery, like big tractors, just a lot of actually like farm accidents is like a really big concern, especially with like young children on ranches and stuff. So we've had some like crazy, you know, like tractor sliding and tipping and things like that. But Nebraska a couple of years ago had huge flooding. And that's really wild, actually, to be. And like right now, Texas has major wildfires.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really crazy to be in our industry, like farming and ranching, when you're having like a natural disaster like that. And I remember when we had the flooding, it's so out of your control that it's like heartbreaking and frustrating. But that was pretty wild.
Like, do you lose everything when that happens? Or what?
Well, it depends like how much time you have to like relocate cattle or move cattle or like what things happen. We didn't lose anything, but there were definitely area ranches that did, depending on your flooding and like where cattle are at the time and stuff.
Wow. See, this is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Okay, what advice do you have for people in their 20s? A lot of people listening to this podcast, a huge hot topic is navigating your 20s. I feel like what I love specifically about your story is that like you changed your mind and you like went back to the ranch. I think that's cool. What just advice do you have for someone in their 20s?
Yeah, I think the best advice I could give anyone, and if I could re-give it to myself, I would. Because I think I've always been good at this, but I didn't realize it. And I think it helped. Like I had a really positive experience through like my 20s. And even I'm halfway through my 30s now. And I would say like, I also love my 30s. And I think one reason that is because I've always been really good at listening to my gut and like honing my intuition. And I think even especially as women, sometimes we outsource our emotions a lot. You know, like we'll look for other people to validate or give us their opinions or, you know, like recommend or like whatever it is, approve of our decisions. Mm-hmm. Or we seek so much guidance sometimes, I think. And not saying I didn't do that, like find your people you can do that with that you trust and who give you good advice. But I think the more you can like inner control your own intuition and your gut where you're like, no, that I know other people are saying. I mean, I remember when I was like going to quit pharmacy and people were like, you're going to quit pharmacy to share online? Like, what are you doing? You know? And I just knew in my gut that it was like the right thing to do. So I think the more you can hone that intuition and gut and really like learn to trust yourself and lead your own life with confidence, the better you'll be through your 20s and 30s. And then the other advice that I'd say, I think really speaks true to my life at least, is that as you mentioned, like I've had a lot of seasons. Like I was a pharmacist and now I'm not. I was off a ranch and now I'm on. And like, I don't know what my next season will be, but I think sometimes we get so caught up in like, well, I went to pharmacy school. Well, now I'm a pharmacist. And like, we'll stay in a path or we'll stay in a career or we'll stay in a relationship or whatever it is, because like, maybe we don't want to accept that like we can have seasons and like pivot and change, or we feel like we're failing if we like started something and we like move into something else. But I think life has seasons and it's really beautiful to just honor that like, what you were when you were like 20 to 23 is going to be maybe can be and look different than what you are to 23 and 26 and 26 to 30. Like, don't put so much stress on like, I guess, like maintaining a current path. I think be open to the idea that different things can be presented at different times for absolute reasons in your life.
I think it's because we make a certain path our entire identity. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that as the girl who makes everything I'm interested in a new personality trait. Yeah. But I have struggled with this, just changing my mind about like what I want, even career-wise. Yeah. Because I was so, like, I always say stubborn, but just very like tunnel visioned to where I wasn't able to like look up and see that like that actually led me to something better, mm-hmm. you know? Also about trusting your gut and like listening to your gut. I already know like what the listeners are gonna be like, okay, well, how do I know it's my gut? Like, where yeah. do I, whatever. For me personally, because I find myself going to people for like validation on decisions that I make all the time, or if it's like, I know how I feel about something. I know the decision I'm gonna make, but for some reason, I'm still going to other people.
Like when we ask someone to pick our outfit.
Yes.
And we're like, the blue hat? You pick the blue yes. hat? I like the black.
Okay, and then actually, we just wear the black. And then you literally go with the outfit that you first planned. Exactly. But something that has really helped me, because I feel like for so long in my 20s, especially like my earlier 20s, I just felt really overwhelmed, and I felt like I couldn't even like hear myself. And like, you know, to be fair, I was literally at the bars all the time. So like, yeah. I literally couldn't hear myself. But even with that, like when I was, you know, journaling was very helpful, but I was just like doing my day to day. I was so busy and wrapped up in my like routines and working and my social life and whatever it might be. It actually really helped me to get out into nature mm-hmm. and to just get quiet, because then like, in the stillness, I was able to like hear what I actually thought, and I was away from everything else. So I feel like that also like makes a lot of sense of someone who like loves nature. I feel like it's a lot easier, at least for me, to even like hear what I think my gut is saying in the first place outside.
Oh, absolutely. I can hear myself loudest when I'm like working out, exercising.
Yes.
That's a time that like I'll have a lot of like thoughts and conversation. I'll talk to myself.
Yes.
And the other thing I would say is like, just start small. Like, we build confidence in ourselves through building, like through the actual act of like proving something to ourselves.
Making promises to ourselves and keeping
yeah.
my life.
So like, if you want to learn how to, you know, make a decision for yourself and honor that, like start small. Like, don't ask for the opinion on the outfit. Like, even if it's something as silly as the outfit, or like if you're going to go to a restaurant, don't act like maybe make the decision or like whatever, like just start small so that when you get to the big decisions in life, you have like practiced the art of like making decisions for yourself continually, and then proving to yourself, like, I can make good decisions. I do make good decisions, so that when the ones that are like big and impactful come around, you're more confident in like what you're feeling and leaning towards.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. That's great advice.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for coming on today.
So honored.
Where can everyone find you?
Yeah, so my podcast is Discover Ag. Every Thursday, we dish on trending food news and discover what's new in the world of food. So it's kind of like The Toast meets food. So we take like trending articles, topics, headlines. If you ever see anything in the food space where you're like, what the hell is going on? Or something's going viral, we're probably talking about it in our podcast. And then my personal channel is my name. So Natalie Kavorik, and I'm on Instagram.
Amazing. I'll have everything linked. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you love this episode, please don't forget to leave a rating and review. It really helps the show grow. If you want to follow me behind the scenes, you can find me on Instagram or YouTube at Kinsey Elizabeth, or on TikTok at Kinsey the Texan. I drop new episodes every Thursday, and they're also available to watch on YouTube. Thanks so much for listening, and I will talk to y'all next Thursday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.